But I want you to hear this. I don't know the circumstances behind it. I don't know the background. I didn't have time to look at all the things that are going on around this. But this is in Zechariah chapter 7. And it just really resonates with my heart right now. And I hope it resonates with your heart right now, because we're coming up to a very busy time of life, busy time of year, with a lot of demands and a lot of things that need to be done and a lot of things that need to be done well as possibly we can. And we can do those things by our own will, by our own might, by our own determination, and we can get it done, but not in the way that it should be done. In Zechariah chapter 7, I read this morning, and I want to read it to you. It says, in the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. And the people of Bethel, get this, the people of Bethel had sent Sharezer and Regem-Melech together with their men to entreat the Lord, to ask the Lord a question by asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets. So this community sent an envoy, a group of people to ask a question of the priests. And this is the question. Should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I have done for so many years? This is a question of this community. Should I mourn and fast on the fifth month as I have done for so many years? Basically, they're saying, hey, should we still be doing this? Should we still be mourning? Should we still be fasting? And what they were mourning for and fasting about was the fall of Jerusalem. Is what there was a fast that was called to bring people into repentance for Jerusalem before it fell. And they fell, and so they continued that fast, and they've been doing it for a while. And it says, then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. And listen to what this says, because I think this is really important, because we could be asking the exact same question of all the things that are coming up in the weeks and months to come. Should we really be doing all this stuff? Thanksgiving. I mean, it was instituted many years ago by our government as a day of thanks and stuff like that. And so we get together and we cook a turkey and we make some potatoes and we make some dressing and we make some whatever we make and we put it on a table and we chow down and then we all get done. Wow, wow, that was really good. And then we sit down and unbutton our pants and sit there and watch. We shouldn't say that, but we do. Yeah, you got a minute. And we watch a football game or we do something with the family and stuff like that. And same thing with Christmas and all the shopping and all the different things that we're doing. And, you know, the same question should be asked in our minds. Should we still be doing this? And here's what the response was. Listen to what it says. Does this resonate with anyone else? Because is anyone else looking forward thinking, whew, this is going to be overwhelming? Listen to what he says. Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and the prosperous and the Negev and the western foothills were settled? And when the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy, compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think of evil. Do not think evil of each other. Verse 11. But they refused to pay attention stubbornly. They turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Almighty had sent by his spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. You hear what that was kind of saying? And I think it's so relevant for us today, because we need to ask the questions, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why are we doing it? Because if we're doing it with a wrong attitude, if we're doing it just because we've always done it, then we're missing the point. And what's going to happen, what's going to happen very quickly, maybe not in 1 year, but in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, what's going to happen pretty quickly is we're going to start doing it and we're going to start resenting doing it. It's going to become a chore. It's going to become something we just do rather than for the right reasons. That's what the Lord was asking these people. He says, You're feasting and you're famine, or you're feasting and you're fasting. He says, why are you really doing it? Did you do it for me? Or are you just filling up on turkey for turkey's sake? Because remember, the turkey and the whole Thanksgiving thing was for a reason. Do you remember what the reason was? To give thanks. To who? To God. It's to remember all the blessings. To remember that God is in control. To remember that He's the one that brought them safely. He's the one that continues to bring us safely. He's the one who continues to provide for us. And in the midst of all of His provision and all the things that He's given to us, we start taking the provisions and the provider for granted, and we start worshiping the provisions rather than the provider. Thanksgiving is not about the mass of food on the table. It's the one who provided. Not just the mass of food, but all the things that we have. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, we start worshiping the provision and not the provider. And when we think when the provision is not what we think, then we start getting angry or frustrated. And we lose the heart that Thanksgiving was intended to be. And the same thing for Christmas. We've taken the gift, which is Christ Jesus. And we've taken that word gift and we've turned it into something that makes a lot of us go, oh, it's a chore. It's a task. It's a burden. But the gift was never intended to be a chore or a task or a burden. Listen to what God says. In Zechariah. Listen to what he says when they finally came to their senses a little bit. When he says, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. Let me read that again. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. That's a scary thought. It made me kind of nervous when I read that. And I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not trying to downplay anything. But I want to make sure that we get our hearts in the right condition, in the right place for the days and weeks and months to come. Because if we don't do that, we're going to end up regretting and not enjoying what God intended to be a privilege and a time of celebration. You see, when you go back to the very beginning of Zechariah, he explains what everything is about in the first couple verses. Listen to what it says in Zechariah chapter 1. It says, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, and the Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people this. Tell the people. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Listen to this very closely. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Can I say that again? Return to me, says the Lord, and I will return to you. That's very different than what I just read in chapter 7, where it says, when I called, they did not listen, so when they called, I would not listen. This is the heart of what God is saying. It says, if you return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. And here's the thing. That's exactly what happened in the last 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I didn't turn to Him. I didn't fill my cup. For 2 weeks, I ran dry. In just 2 weeks, I can't imagine going any longer because I am so grateful that God has placed me in a position that, I don't want to say forces me, but encourages me strongly to seek Him out. And if I didn't have that position, it worries me about where I would be if I was just on my own, if I wasn't where I'm at. And honestly, it concerns me because I think a lot of you are in that spot. You aren't in a position where you have to seek him. You so easily could go from a day-to-day basis without having any reason to reach out or to prepare or to share the good news of Jesus in some way. And it would be so easy to get into a habit of just continuing to allow your well to run dry and never allow it to be filled up. But God says very plainly, very clearly, he says, if you return to me, I will return to you. James says it in a whole different way. James, in the book of James, take a look with me real quick in James chapter 4, right after Hebrews. I got confused there. Boy, it leaves really fast when you don't use it. James chapter 4, it says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you, and this is exactly what goes on, what causes fights and quarrels among you, don't they come from your desires of battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Do you hear what's going on there? And that's exactly the habit that we fall into. It says, you adulterous people, and I'm not calling you adulterous people, but listen to what it says, you adulterous people, don't you know that the friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That is what the scripture says. God opposes the proud, just like we said in Zechariah, but gives grace to the humble. Listen to verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen to verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Do you hear that? Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, in the past 2 weeks, who moved? Who moved? Did God move? Did he change directions? Did he change his mind? Did he go somewhere? Who moved? I did. I did. You see, God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. He does not change his mind. He does not change his direction. He is the same. And when someone needs to move, it needs to be me. And right now, what has to happen in preparation for the weeks to come, if I do not turn and face him, if I do not come back to him, if I do not humble myself before him, the next couple weeks are going to be an absolute nightmare. Not just for me, but for you. Because my heart and the tasks that are going to be set before us as a congregation, as individuals, as families, is going to be overwhelming, and we can allow bitterness to grow into our lives so quickly if we're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing with love. So I'm going to let you know right now. Today's what? November 12th? I'm putting us all on notice. Turn to him. Do it right now. Turn to him. Seek him out. Allow him to transform the life and the heart that you've got so that the days to come will be a joy. They will not be a series of tasks that need to be accomplished. But you'll find peace and fulfillment and joy in the things that God intended to be joyful in your life. Allow him to fill your cup full to overflowing so that it will overflow to the people around you. In Revelation chapter 3, do you remember what Jesus says to the church? He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you'll just open that door, I will come in. You see, the one who needs to change is not God. He's the same. His love, his mercy, his grace endures forever. But we need to change our hearts. and seek him out. How do we do that? How can we do it? How do we seek him out? Because if he tells us, he gives us a promise. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me out, you will find me. He's not hiding. He's not trying to play hide and go seek from you. He's not trying to play tag. He's not trying to run ahead of you. He is standing right there. He's not moving. If you will seek him, you will find him. How do you seek him? Because that's the thing that each one of us needs to do. If we aren't doing that, we're never going to find him. If we don't seek, we're never going to find. It's not a passive relationship. How do we seek him? What should we do? What? Pray. You know what? That's the easiest and most complicated and most powerful thing that we can do. Is just pray. Deliberately. Not offhand. Not when I feel like it. But deliberately. It's like any other relationship. If I don't talk to my wife, probably shouldn't use that example, should I? If I don't talk to her for a day, we can tell a difference in the relationship. I should not tell her this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When I was gone down at her dad's house and helping him, the phone would ring about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and it was usually Kathy. And whatever I was doing, I'd say, oh, time for my 3,000 words. And it was just one of those things. And I know I shouldn't say that, but it's true. But there's so much importance, there's so much value in communication, because if we don't communicate, we drift apart. And it's amazing how quickly it'll happen in a marriage or with your children or in your work environment. It's amazing how quickly a relationship starts to deplete and deteriorate and fall apart without those two people communicating. Here's the thing. God is constantly, constantly trying to communicate with you. There is not a moment of day or night. There is not a single second that he is not trying to communicate with you. So the one who has to change his communication line is us. Because at any moment, at any part of the day, he is there, ready to listen, but more than that, he's ready to speak into your lives. And prayer is not this, all right, Lord, here's what I need for the day. It's not that. A part of that is, yes, presenting your request to God. But the biggest part of prayer is just being still and being quiet before God and allow him to guide and direct you. The quiet times of your life and just trying to listen are some of the most valuable moments you can spend in any day of your life. But it's not going to happen if you don't take time to do it. How else can you get it all near to God? What? Read the Bible. Boy, this seems like really basic stuff. I think I've heard these things before. You know what? God gave us his word for a reason, and we are some of the most blessed people in the world at any other point in time in history because we have God's word written right here. It's access to us every single day. God is not trying to hide anything from us. He is not trying to put it in code. He's put it in black and white very plainly who he is over and over again. And we have access to it. How many times did you pick it up this week? Come on. I hope so. Every day. Because he wants to speak to you. God's not changing. But we need to. You see, when we change and come to God and allow him to be an influence in our lives, we start doing the things that he's calling us to do, not out of obligation, not out of rote habit, but out of love, out of his grace, out of concern, not just for him, but for our fellow man, because what is the greatest commandment that he's given to us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And what is the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? You cannot love, because God is a source of love. You cannot love the way God intended us to love without him. And you cannot have him unless you seek him. He's not going to force himself on you. This week, I'm done. I'm done right here. Seek him. Stop messing around. Stop thinking other things are more important. Stop worrying about all the relationships and all the things that are going on, and seek him. Your schedule, listen to me closely. People in the back, people in the front, your schedule is not so busy. You are not so important that you do not have time to seek him. You know why I know that? Because he created you. Your very person, purpose, and essence was designed for that one thing. That's why he made you. So that you would seek him and know him. Amen? I want to have a great holiday season. Not just a great holiday season. I want to have a great life. When January 1st comes along, I want it to continue on. And you know how I can ensure that's going to happen? Is if I continue to seek him. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen. It doesn't mean we won't have challenges. It doesn't mean we won't have heartache and pain and all those other things. It doesn't mean that, but it means that if I continue to seek him, I will see that greater purpose in all the challenges of life. And I will know that he is in control, because he will tell me every day, I've got this.